If you have your Bibles this morning, and I hope that you do, please join me in the New Testament. Go to the book of Luke. Go to the book of Luke. We're going to look at several scriptures this morning, but we're going to camp out really on one verse from the book of Luke, chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 14 in just a few moments. So right now, we are in the season of Advent, which looks forward to and celebrates the birth of Jesus Christ. But at the same time, the season of Advent, it also reminds us that as Jesus Christ came as a baby, the next time that Jesus Christ returns to the earth, he will come as a conquering king. The Bible tells us that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. But did you know that as Jesus was born in a human form, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ has always been. You see, Jesus did not come into existence the moment that he was born. The Bible tells us that Jesus was with God in the very beginning. John chapter 1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, which is a reference to the Son of God, which is a reference to Jesus Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, not anything made that was made. So we see that Jesus Christ, he has always been. In the very beginning, when God was creating the earth, Genesis chapter 1 tells us, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. It begs this question, who is the us? You see, this is more than likely a reference to the Trinity, the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And after Adam and Eve were created, God placed them in the Garden of Eden. And you remember the story. He told them not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you may remember the story. God placed them in the Garden of Eden and said, do not eat from that tree. And you remember the story, Satan, he became a serpent. And he came to Adam and Eve and he tempted them to eat from this tree. And then we pick it up in Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve, they ate of this tree. And then all of a sudden, sin entered into the world. You see, previously sin had not been in the world, but when they ate of this tree, as God had told them not to, sin came into the world. And then we pick it up in Genesis 3. Then God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And then in verse 15, God told the serpent, speaking to Satan, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And this verse, verse 15, is what theologians call the first gospel. That phrase, that line, he shall bruise your head, is a reference to the crushing blow that Jesus eventually brought to Satan when he defeated sin and death on the cross and by raising from the grave 3 days later. So we see that Jesus Christ, he has always been. He was with God in the very beginning. And all of the Old Testament, starting there in Genesis 3, Genesis 1 really, it points to the Son of God. It points to the coming of Jesus Christ. Again, all of the Old Testament points to this coming Son, Isaiah chapter 9, some 700 years before the Son of God was even born. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So again, we see in the Word of God that Jesus Christ, He has always been. All of the Old Testament, it points to the birth of Christ, to this coming Son, the Son of God. And then we see the story of His birth, which we are celebrating during this time of Advent, this Advent season. We see the story of His birth given so well in the books of Matthew and also in the book of Luke. And let's read about this account in the book of Luke together. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. And you remember this beautiful story, this incredible account of the birth of Christ. And we see that as He's always been, now He is coming into human form, which was ordained so long ago. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was in the house of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Verse 8, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying in verse 14, and this will be the verse that we look at today in depth, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." Again, that line, on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. You see, as Jesus Christ has always been, He was with God in the beginning. All of the Old Testament points to this coming Son. We see in the text how He was given to us. He was born for you and I. And we see in this word that Jesus Christ, He came to give peace. Jesus Christ came to give peace. I bet if I were to ask for a show of hands, I'm not going to do this, but if I were to ask, raise your hand if you need some peace in your life these days. Or if I were to ask, raise your hand if you think that the world needs peace these days. I would be willing to bet that every single one of us in this room would raise our hands and say, yes, I need peace. My family needs peace. My situation needs peace. Our world, it desperately needs peace. Peace. You see, 2020 has been an interesting year, right? I think out of all the years that I've been privileged to live thus far, this for me personally, it's been by far one of the most stressful years that I've ever lived through. It's been an interesting time. I want you to write this truth down. Write this down. Jesus Christ gives believers peace with God. Let's unpack that. Again, the verse that we're looking at today, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." And the word peace that is used here is defined as this. It's defined as the tranquil state of a soul that is assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is. In this verse, it says, God will give peace to those with whom he is pleased. So it begs this question, who is God pleased with? You see, God is pleased with those who have trusted in his Son for the forgiveness of sin. I'm going to say that again. God is pleased with those who have placed their faith and their trust in his Son that was with him in the very beginning, who was prophesied about all throughout the Old Testament, who came and who lived a perfect life, who died on a cross for sin and was resurrected from the grave 3 days later. You see, the Bible tells us this, that sin makes you and I enemies of God. Paul says this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In other words, because of our sin, we cannot measure up to God's holiness. We cannot measure up to God's glory. Sin, it makes us enemies of God. And Paul also tells us this in Romans chapter 6, for the wages of this sin is death. In other words, what we deserve, what every person deserves because of sin that is in their life is to die a very real death in a very real place called hell. That's what we deserve because of our sin. Our sin makes us enemies of God. Paul speaks about this sin in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. That's what our sin makes us. By nature, we are wrathful. We are children of wrath like the rest of mankind. I saw someone quoted this past week. I don't know where it came from, but someone said, we don't need God. We don't need God because we're bad. We need God because we're dead. But praise God. Praise God, Ephesians 2 has a second part. God just didn't stop there, that you're a child of wrath. Ephesians 2 has a second part. It says, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were what? Dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together. How? With Christ. By grace you have been saved, and he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places. How? In Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. You see what Christ has done for us. You see what he has done. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is what? It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Praise God that Ephesians 2 has a second part. Praise God that Romans 6:23 has a second part. The first part of Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Can you imagine just staying there and just camping out on that first part? But praise God, there's a second part. But the free gift of God is what? Eternal life. How? Through Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, Jesus gives believers peace with God. Paul also speaks to this in Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. You see, that's what we deserve, is the wrath of God. But because of Christ, we're saved from the wrath of God. We're no longer enemies of God. There it is. For if while we were what? Enemies. We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Again, Jesus Christ gives believers peace with God. If countries are at war, they will sometimes negotiate a peace deal. You see, church family, the only person worthy to negotiate a peace deal between us and God is Jesus Christ. And that negotiation, it cost him his entire life. So it begs this question, how can you and I have this peace? How can we have this peace with God? Well, Paul tells us this in Romans chapter 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, what's that mean? That means that you are confessing that he is God, that he is boss, that he is the master, that he is the master of your life. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. What's that? That's placing your faith and your trust in his finished work on the cross. And by his resurrecting from the grave, Paul says, you will be saved. He says, for with the heart you believe from the depths of your heart. You place your faith and your hope in Christ from the depths of your heart, and you're justified, and with the mouth you confess. What are you confessing? You're confessing that Christ is Lord, that there is no other God, that he is the way, that he is the truth, and that he is the life. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, church family, after you do that, you confess that he is Lord. You confess that he is master. You ask him to be the master of your life. You place your faith and your hope in his finished work on the cross. But it doesn't stop there. You commit your life to him and his lordship. One of my favorite theologians, Oswald Chambers, says, to believe is to commit. To believe in his finished work on the cross is to commit your life to him and who he is. You see, it doesn't stop there. Jesus himself said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and what? Daily follow me. So we see in this text that Jesus Christ, he gives believers this peace. He gives believers peace with God. This next one, write this down. Jesus Christ gives believers peace with each other. Jesus Christ gives believers peace with each other. You see, after you confess in Jesus Christ, you confess that he is Lord, you believe in his finished work on the cross. The Bible tells us that this is what happens whenever you believe in the gospel. Ephesians chapter 1, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him. Again, when you confess that Christ is Lord and believe in his finished work on the cross, Paul says that you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. In other words, whenever you trust in Christ for salvation, what Paul is saying here is that the Spirit of God comes to dwell inside of you. He comes to live inside of you. And Paul says this about the Spirit that is living inside of you. Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit that is living inside of you is joy. The fruit of the Spirit that comes to dwell inside of you is peace. It's patience. It's kindness. It's goodness. It's faithfulness. It's gentleness. And it's self-control. Therefore, whenever we are living this life and doing this thing called life, the Spirit of God that is dwelling inside of us, that is living inside of us, it enables us to have these attributes, this fruit of the Spirit. As we come into contact with people that may rub us the wrong way, the Spirit of God living inside of us, it allows us to have peace with other people. And therefore, because of the Spirit of God that is dwelling inside of us, that is living inside of us, we can live out what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 12. He says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. How can we do that? How can believers do that to other people? How can believers bless those who wrong them, who are mean to them? It's because of the Spirit of God that is dwelling inside of them, giving them love, giving them joy, giving them this peace. He says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. How can we do that? by the power of the Spirit dwelling inside of us. He says, live in harmony with one another. How can we do that? The only way that you and I can live in harmony with each other and the world around us is by the power of the Spirit of God that dwells inside of us. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. How? By the power of the Spirit. Never be wise in your own sight. How do we do that? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live how? Peaceably with all. How can we live peaceably with all? The only way that you and I can live peaceably with all, with each other, and also the world around us, is by the power of the Spirit of God that dwells inside of us, enabling us to do so. Just recently, in our home, we had an item that was stolen from our garage. And this was an item that was one of my children's. And it was an item that was a gift to my son. And it bothered my kids that someone would come into our garage and to take this item. Well, I went driving around just the area that I live, and I found this item sitting on someone's porch about a half a mile from my house. I thought, what do I do? Well, one day we were driving by this house, and I showed my kids. I said, there's the item that was taken from us. And again, it bothered my kids. But you know who it bothered the most? Macy, my daughter, my three-year-old little girl. She was like, Daddy, let's go to their house and push them down. Let's go to their house and fight them. I was like, who are you? My goodness. On a side note, do not mess with Macy, all right? She will destroy you. I'm just telling you. I'm scared of her myself. But I said, you know, Macy, we're not going to do that. We're not going to go and fight them. We're not going to go and push them down. And Brittany said, you know what we should do? We should pray for them. We should pray for them. And lo and behold, Macy even led us in a prayer. She goes from wanting to beat them up to praying for them. Only a three-year-old girl can do that, I guess. But we pray for them. We pray for them. And I asked the Lord, well, God, what should I do in this situation? Because I don't want to put myself in danger, but I want you to be honored. I want you to be glorified. Well, I went by this house, and let me just tell you to make a long story short, that the peace of God completely intervened in that situation. Again, it has nothing to do with me, because in my heart, to be honest with you, in my flesh, I wanted to do what Macy said. Someone came into my garage, took something of my kids. Only by the power of the Spirit of God dwelling inside of me and over that situation was that situation able to be resolved with peace. You see, church family, the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us, it keeps us from ripping each other's heads off. There's truth to that, right? It's so true. Because we cannot do it in our own spirit. We cannot do it in our own power. Have you noticed that the world at times can be a little bit chaotic? Have you noticed that? How can believers have peace in a world that is sometimes chaotic? The only way that we can have peace is by the power of the Spirit dwelling inside of us. Next, moving on, you can write this down. We also see in the Word that Jesus Christ gives believers internal peace on the earth. He gives believers internal peace on the earth. So Jesus Christ, he is on his way to the cross. If you go back and you read John 13, 14, 15, somewhere in there, he is on his way to the cross. His disciples are bothered by this. And this is what Jesus says to his disciples, and this is applicable to you today. You're watching online, this is for you as well. As he is on his way to the cross, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. I believe with all my heart that myself, all of us in this room today, you need to hear this over your situation or whatever you're facing today, whatever's on your heart, whatever's on your mind, let not your heart be troubled. believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Church family, this is for you. His peace he has left with you. His peace he gives to you. Not as the world gives. Not as the world gives. Not through alcohol, not through drugs, not through other some way. Jesus says, no, it's my peace that I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And in context, what Jesus Christ is talking about here, it goes back to what we talked about earlier. It's a peace that is given by the Spirit of God that is inside of you, that is living inside of you. One commentator says of this verse, Michael Z. writes, it's not a peace to be measured by outward circumstances, but a peace within, not the kind that depends on freedom from conflict, but the kind that remains constant when trouble comes. I love this verse from Isaiah chapter 26. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock. You see, Jesus Christ gives believers internal peace on the earth. And this is who our Savior is. This is who our Savior was. If you go back and you read the Gospels, Jesus, he was the King of Peace. I remember that story where Jesus Christ was in the boat with his disciples. You remember that story? And all of a sudden, this storm, it came upon them, and all the disciples thought to themselves, we're going to die. We're going to die. What's Jesus doing? You remember the story? What's he doing? He's asleep. Why is Jesus Christ asleep? Because he is at total peace. Why is he at total peace? Because Jesus Christ had complete control over that storm. And then all of a sudden, Jesus Christ, he woke up, and what does he say to the storm? He says, peace, be still. Stop. And that's what Jesus Christ can do for you in your situation, and that's what he can do inside of your heart. Maybe you're going through something today. Jesus Christ has the power to immediately say to your storm, to whatever you are facing, he has the power to say right now, peace, be still. But what if he doesn't? What if he doesn't? He has the power to give you peace in the midst of that storm. In the midst of whatever you are facing, this peace is available to you today. Jesus Christ, he gives believers peace with God. He gives believers peace with each other. He gives believers internal peace on the earth. And you can write this truth down because we need to hear it today. Jesus Christ will one day bring worldwide peace. The Bible tells us that one day Christ is going to rapture the church to be with him in heaven. And let me just tell you, church family, we're waiting on that rapture. That rapture could be at any moment. The Bible tells us it'll happen like that. He's going to rapture his church to be with him in heaven. The Bible also tells us, read about it, go to the book of Revelation, that after that rapture, that there will be an intense time of tribulation on the earth. You think 2020 was bad? You don't want to be around for the tribulation. Trust me. And then after that time of tribulation, the Bible tells us that he is going to return to the earth with the hosts of heaven to bring absolute peace on the earth. It tells us that he's going to set up his messianic kingdom and reign peacefully on the earth for 1,000 years. Again, the first time that Christ came to the earth, he came as a humble baby. The next time that he will be on this planet, it will be on a white horse as a conquering king. It's coming, church family. John in the book of Revelation chapter 19 gives us this incredible picture. Look at it with me. Revelation chapter 19, John says, then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. And what's this? This is describing Christ's return to the earth after the rapture to judge and to make peace on the earth. That's what it's describing. It says that he's on a white horse, which represents total and complete victory. By the way, it also says that you and I, if you're in Christ, that you're going to get a white horse too, so don't get upset about that. Verse 12, his eyes are like a flame of fire. And on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. Recognize that from John chapter 1. And the armies of heaven, the armies of heaven, what's that? Who is that? That's you and I. That's the church. That's believers in Christ. That's the Old Testament saints. That's the hosts of heaven, the angels of heaven. It says that they are arrayed in fine linen, white and pure. It says that they were following him on white horses too. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. So he's going to bring peace, believe it or not. He will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God, the Almighty. That symbolizes his judgment. That's what it's talking about. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You looking forward to that? Come, Lord Jesus, right? That's why Paul says, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, church family, again, be reminded that Jesus Christ will one day bring worldwide peace. Yes, we need the government. Yes, we need presidents. Yes, we need governors. Yes, we need civic leaders. But Jesus Christ is the only one who can, and Jesus Christ is the only one who will bring ultimate peace. So in closing, here's some thoughts to think about as we close off this message. Number one, write this down. This Advent season, this Christmas season, but also every season, rest in the peace of Jesus. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what's on your heart. I don't know what's on your mind. I don't know what you're concerned about. I don't know what you're worried about. But can I just tell you, believer in Christ, that if you are in Christ, if you've done what we've talked about, you have confessed that Christ is Lord, you have committed your life to his lordship, can I just tell you, believer in Christ, that he has you in the palm of his hand. He is with you, he is for you, he is fighting for you, he understands your situation, he knows exactly what you're going through, he knows exactly what you're facing today, he knows exactly what you're going to face tomorrow, he's got it all figured out. Rest in the peace of Jesus today. Do what the psalm tells us in Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. I'm an earthly dad. And as an earthly dad, as you all understand, that have children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, you have this innate desire to do whatever it takes for your children, for your kids, for your grandchildren, to help them, to serve them, to be there for them. And that's us as earthly beings. That's what God feels about you with perfection. See, he doesn't make mistakes. He never leaves you. He'll never forsake you. He's got you in the palm of his hands. So today, you can rest in the peace of Christ. Next, you can write this down. Because of the Spirit of God that's dwelling inside of you, this Advent season and every season, be a peacemaker. You see, we cannot be a peacemaker without the Spirit of God enabling us to do so. But can I just tell you, church family, that being a peacemaker is the characteristic of a Christian. We bring peace to situations. We bring peace to our homes. We bring peace when the world is going crazy, when the world is going chaotic. We don't escalate situations. Because of the power of the Spirit of God living inside of us, we bring and speak peace into situations. So how can you be a peacemaker this Advent season? Jesus himself says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Rest in the peace of Jesus. Be a peacemaker in your situation. And in your life and whatever you're going through. Next, number three, give the peace of Jesus to someone else. This is called evangelism. This is a value here at our church. Give the peace of Jesus Christ to someone else. Paul calls the gospel in Ephesians chapter 6. You know what he calls it? He calls it the gospel of peace. He calls it the gospel of peace. You see, there are people all around us, church family, who internally are not in peace, who externally are not in peace. You know them. You see them. You're doing life with them. They're your neighbors. They're your coworkers. They're maybe even in your own family. And the greatest gift that we can give other people this Christmas season and also every single season is Jesus, is the peace of Jesus Christ. I speak about invitations all the time. You see, my life was changed by one single invitation. And you never know how an invitation could radically change someone's life. We talk about these little invite cards all the time. And I understand right now that people may not come into a building because of all that's going on, but on this invite card, it talks about how you can watch our services and be engaged in our services online. I would encourage you to take 3 or 4 of these and make it your goal. Before Christmas hits this year, give out 3 or 4 of these and invite someone just to participate in worship with you, whether it be beside you or 6 feet from you or online, but invite someone and just to hear the gospel message. You never know how an invitation could change their life. You never know what an invitation, the type of conversation that it can stir up among them. Going back to that story that I told earlier about the item that was stolen from us, can I just tell you that this card was key in bringing peace to that situation? Not this card, but God used this card. You know what I'm trying to say? God used this card in that situation. Whenever I said, you know what, it's okay. God loves you. I love you too. Would love for you to come and maybe be a part or maybe to catch us online. This little card brought peace. God used this card to bring peace to that situation. How can you give the peace of Jesus to someone else? I saw this quote yesterday, and it's A.W. Tozer. He is the one that said this. And it's so true. We often forget about this. But he says this, people on earth hate to hear the word repent. But he says those in hell wish they could hear it just once more. I don't say that to scare us. I don't say that to scare you. But it's reality, church family, that if someone dies without the peace of Christ in their heart, they go to hell. That's what the Bible says. Those aren't my words, the words of Christ. You see, believer in Christ, you're sent. You're sent with the gospel message. You're sent with the message that only Christ, that Christ gives peace, that only Christ gives peace. People need the gospel more than they need anything else. Next, number 4, maybe you're in this place today. You never received the peace of Jesus. That's my next point. Receive the peace of Jesus. Maybe you're in this place today and you've never confessed Christ as Lord. Or maybe you're watching online today and you've never committed your life to Christ. You never placed your hope and your faith and your trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross. Receive the peace of Jesus by confessing Him as Lord. You see, you will never have peace in your life until you submit your life to the Lordship of Christ. Never. You can't get it through the government. You can't get it online. You cannot get it anywhere else. You will never have ultimate peace in your life until you submit your life to the Lordship of Christ. And lastly, this is so important for us today, church family. May we worship Jesus because of the peace He gives. That's what the angels were doing. That's what they were doing. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. Jesus Christ, He gives us peace. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Maybe you're in this place today or you are watching online and you don't have any peace in your life. Ask yourself this question, have I truly received the peace of Jesus? Have I confessed Him as Lord? Have I submitted my life to His Lordship? You can do that today. Today is the day of salvation for you. Can I just tell you that whenever you come to Christ and submit your life to Him, you don't lose anything. You gain everything. You gain hope, peace, joy, most importantly, eternal life. Why do you need to do that? Well, it's because of sin. The Bible says that We all have sin, and that sin separates us from God. It makes us enemies of God. And the only way that we can have our sin taken care of is through the work of Christ on the cross. Today, maybe you can pray a prayer like this from the depths of your heart, as the Bible calls us to do so. Say, God, I know that I've sinned. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. I confess that He is Lord. And I commit my life to follow Him from this point forward. And the Bible tells us this, that if you said that to God from your heart today, through your lips, and you meant it from the depths of your heart, that you want to follow Christ and trust in Him for the forgiveness of sin in Christ alone, the Bible tells us this, that you are a Christian. And the next step for you, Christian, is to be baptized in believer's baptism, to proclaim to the world that you are a follower of Jesus. If you've never been scripturally baptized, that's the next step of obedience for you, believer in Christ. And today, if you have made that commitment to the Lord by trusting in Christ for salvation, would you tell me, would you tell someone? Maybe you're in this place today and you need prayer for some reason, and just a little bit after we dismiss from service, there's going to be a group of people up here to my left, in front of the door, to my left, that would love to pray with you. If you have any prayer needs whatsoever, they would love to pray over you and with you. Maybe you're in this place today and you have confessed Christ as Lord for the first time. Would you come up and tell one of them? Come tell somebody so that we can rejoice with you, so that we can help you along in your way. Maybe you're in this place today and you just simply need to rest in the peace of Jesus. Would you just by faith right now take whatever situation you're going through, place it in the palm of your hand, and by faith give it to the Lord. Say, God, I give this to you. Maybe it's COVID-19 that you're concerned about, which rightfully so, we all are. Maybe it's a financial situation. Maybe it's a relationship situation. Maybe it's a job situation. Maybe it's a future situation. I don't know. But place it by faith in the palm of your hand this morning and say, God, I give this to you. Give me your peace. And again, God may not change the situation. The situation may be there today or tomorrow or the next month or the next 10 years, but He can give you peace in the midst of it. He's God above it. He's greater than it. Rest in the peace of Jesus today. We love you, God. Thank you so much for Jesus. May we never get over Jesus. May we never get over what Christ has done. Look at what He's done. He gives us peace with God, peace with each other, internal peace on this earth. One day He's going to bring worldwide peace. Oh, we worship Jesus. We love you, God. We worship you. In your name we pray. Amen. Church family, would you stand to your feet? We're going to sing a song of just worship back to our Savior. Would you worship Him right now? Would you worship Him because of the peace that He gives? Devin, would you lead us in